figure lose any gems like that again. Hey, everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff number 183. I am Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. I'm just enjoying my vacation so far.
Yeah, so you're coming to the great state of North Carolina on Thursday? You're flying, right?
Of course.
Okay, that was like, that's a long drive. So
yes, we've done that drive multiple times. I hope I never do it again.
Ew.
Yes, I'm flying.
No. No, that we were going to try and go up to Michigan later this year, catch a Michigan game and see family. And what was that noise? Hang on a second, everybody. All right, don't know what that was. So anyways, but yeah, we were going to drive up to Michigan, and I went, nah, we're going to fly. And we couldn't afford to fly up because we have to get a tree taken down in our front yard. You're new construction, right?
Yes.
Yeah, be very happy about that. You know what's really expensive? Having a guy climb a tree and cut it down.
Yeah, things involving trees sound like they're very expensive to deal with.
Yeah, that's why you don't plant them. Let's just pave it all and be done. Anyways, I don't know where you wanted to start this week.
Well, we can start with the most recent thing we both saw.
All right. Well, you saw Child's Play, but you saw it on Stomping Grounds, right?
Stomping Grounds.
Stomping Grounds, yes.
Kicking ass and taking names.
Boy.
Sponsored by Lugs.
Okay, so I'll ask you this. Kind of on topic, speaking of footwear. Do you ever watch, like, Kofi Kingston's Up, Up, Down, Down, where he unboxes kicks?
No, I have not.
There are some really cool Pride Day Nikes. And I'm like, they just look cool. If you wouldn't have said they were Pride, probably wouldn't have known. But they are $240.
Yeah. That's how much, like, name brand Nikes cost. Trust me, I have a few. And only a few.
Well, you can tell who buys shoes in this partnership.
I mean,
that sounds ridiculous. For shoes. Once you
it depends on what you're using them for. Like, if you want to get some New Balances, you can get some for, like, running shoes for $35, $55. Most Reeboks come within the $50 to $70 range. You getting, like, running shoes or Nikes, especially, like, basketball shoes, you spend in high one to low twos easy.
Now, see, like my lifter shoes, those are, like, run $75, $80, so I kind of get those. But I mean, just right. I wear sandals most of the time. I mean, I'm not a big shoes person, period. But I saw the price tag, and well, what's worse is, like, I take a 12 sometimes, depending on the brand. A 12 was $240. A 10.5 was $180. I'm like, wait a minute. Inch of material cost me $60 more.
Hey, you get over certain. Trust me, I get 13, so I know the feeling. So either I'm paying more, or I'm just not getting them. Can now have my size? No, because I have a pair of Jordans. I think I paid three something when they first came out, because it's like limited edition. And then I had like another pair that's like in the twos, like some basketball sneakers I have that's like in the high ones. But yeah, so when you told me about Kofi Kingston's shoe price, I'm like, that sounds about right. If they're Nikes and they're high end, you spending that. That's why people. And the funny thing is, we laugh about how much they cost. If you don't get them when they first come out, then you're paying a lot more, because people will get them. And like, it was a pair I wanted to get, and they went on sale at 9 o'clock, and by like 9:01 they were sold out. So if I wanted to get them, I have to go eBay and pay like double the price, and I didn't like them that much.
Wow, honestly, there's an entire world out there.
Yeah, shoe culture is a thing, and it's been a thing. And with eBay and the internet, it's a huge thing, where it's like people will literally buy shoes for $200 and sell them for $2,000 because someone wants the shoes that much.
Yeah, I mean, that part I understand. It's just like anything else. But, and I'm going to say something stupid here, but you don't wear them, right?
No, I only buy shoes to wear.
Okay.
I'm not a collector. Like, some people buy stuff just to collect. Like, I don't buy anything I don't use.
Okay. All right. That makes sense then. So, yeah, I was just like, that's a lot of money. And then I actually considered, like, if I were ever get them, I'd have a hard time putting them on. Like, all right, here. One, to display $240 shoes. Because that would blow people's minds that know me. Like, wait, you did that? Like, uh-huh. And then two, I don't know, man. I got bad luck with stuff. I'd scuff that, probably take it out of the box anyways, so I might as well wear them.
Hey, I understand. I saw the 40-year-old virgin, too, so.
That's kind of like buying toys and not taking them out of the package, I guess, if you don't wear them.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the whole point. It's like, damn. You're going, you're like, no, I didn't buy it to use it. I bought it to make money. And it's like, yeah, they use it as a, you know, to make money from it.
Well, good for them, I guess. So, but anyways, to get back to wrestling for a second. So Kevin had this theory a long time ago, and I thought it rang true last night. I know we disagreed about the endings, the end of the show. This show on paper was just like, whatever, why are they even doing this show? This turned out to be pretty damn good for the majority of this. I mean, unless something's changed overnight with you, I was surprised how good this was.
Yeah, it's this whole, you know, the worse the build up, the better the show. Because I remember you guys cracked jokes when I said I was going to WrestleMania in San Jose, talking about that build up was trash. And that's probably one of the best WrestleManias of, like, in a long ass time. I remember having the last laugh at that Mania. So there's definitely, because it's like, there's no expectations. And this show, I almost forgot it was this past weekend. Like, I didn't realize it was this weekend. So I think I was watching Raw on Monday. I'm like, oh, is this upcoming weekend? Like, I'm, because all the talk you heard about was people couldn't buy, they couldn't sell tickets. And it's just a rehash of, like, you know, stuff we already saw.
Yeah, especially with the, what, two, well, top three matches at the end? Those were all rematches. Like, everything else was new, though, right?
I mean, it's stuff we already saw, or, like, remixes stuff we already saw. So instead of seeing, like, Roman Reigns and Shane, it's Roman Reigns and Drew. But we've seen Russell before. It's like, you know, the top two title matches, the Raw's women's match. But, like, yeah, everything else, but the other stuff was new, but they didn't really talk about the other stuff that much, so you didn't really care that much either. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, we'll get to the last match, but I'm like, overall, it wasn't really a bad match on the show.
See, all right, well, I guess we'll just start with, if you want to perceive negative, whatever, but I know we disagree with Kofi and Dolph. I thought the ending was cool with how he just dives out of the, never seen that before, so right there, you know, it never seen it before, and it made sense with what they were trying to do the entire match. Because it was a lot of just trying to escape.
Yeah. And
there were, what, a couple pinfall attempts? That's it?
It was a few. I mean, it was like pinfall attempts, submission attempts, and escape attempts. You said you didn't like it because you felt like it was too much people trying to escape, and you've never been a fan of that.
Yeah.
And I liked it because there wasn't a lot of dead time. And the match, like, made – it wasn't any parts of the match where people, like, looked stupid.
Right.
And a lot of cage, in most cage matches we watch, is like at least two or three things. It's like, why are they doing that? And this is the first one in a long time where, like, the match didn't feel like it was drawn out, and nobody felt like they were doing dumb stuff. They were just like, either I'm trying to escape, I'm trying to hurt your legs so you can't escape, or I'm trying to win.
Yeah, and what I obviously, or not obviously, but I purposely didn't say this last night. I think. Well, one, like you said, I've never liked the escaping thing. It just never made sense. Like, you're supposed to be, like, the cage is supposed to be to keep people out, and if you've got, like, a really rough feud going on. So, part of this was a rough, was the outsider interference because Xavier Woods kicked him. Okay. And, which isn't that far off the path for New Day matches, mind you. Because remember, when they were heels, they were consistently cheating. Even when they were, like, on that cusp of turning face, or good guys, whatever you want to call it now, they were still doing the same thing. They were still helping each other out, so I kind of got it. But then Dolph just kept saying how he was going to beat him, he was going to beat him, and prove him this and this, and then he was just constantly trying to get out the whole time. But that kind of goes back to the build-up was bad compared to what we got. So, I don't know. After seeing the beginning of the card, and then getting to this stuff, it was kind of like, it didn't measure up with the beginning of the show. And at least in my eyes, it didn't. I'm not going to say it was terrible, but I just wasn't as invested in it or interested in it as the rest.
Because the top stuff of the show, because it's funny where the top matches were like the matches we already seen before. That's probably part of it. And especially like the last match was like, you know, it was an, you know what's funny? It was an Attitude Era match. And it just shows where people do not, like, it's funny where Steve Austin did that shit for like a year and people loved it. And like now 2019 is like, people do not have any tolerance for that whatsoever anymore. And I'm like, if you're going to have that match, I've never been a fan of like the special guest referee that cheats. Cause it's just like, it takes too much. It just takes the credit out the window. Like, just count three real fast. Like, yes. Super fast.
Why stop counting?
Or just say three. Yeah. Like, and people talked about that. But I'm like, if you're going to do it, that's the best way to do it. And they set it up in a way that the crowd was into it. And it was kind of like, once it got to the part like versus no count out. And then what was it? It was something, another stipulation. And then like, as soon as it got to the no DQ stipulation, like, okay, now Becky Lynch can come in and do something. And it'd be no shenanigans. And like, and they built toward that, and the crowd was like, I'll give kudos to the crowd. The crowd was, after they start chanting, like, you know, the AEW and this is boring stuff. And it's hilarious that Michael Cole and Renee Young was basically acknowledging the same thing. And normally they just ignore that. And this time they did not, because the match started, they saying this is stupid. Soon as they had Lacey Evans come in and she's not counting and she's going slow, and it's like, when you have your commentaries crapping on this concept, oh, you're giving the fans permission to do the same thing. But for some reason, it's like by the time the match ended, it worked.
Yeah, see, I was expecting Becky to come out. As soon as Lacey came out, I was expecting Becky to come out, beat the hell out of her, and then they'd have to find somebody else. And, I mean, because what's going to happen? Baron's not going to allow her to disqualify Seth, you know?
I mean, you saw, here's the thing. You saw backlash with Triple H and The Rock, and Austin, they come out to, like, the very end. it's something to be saying about delayed gratification. Like, you know what the fans want, but you don't have to give it to them now. You wait till the absolute right time to give it to them, and then you give it to them. And I think that worked. The weird thing wasn't even, like, the match and how it ended. It's... And we've talked about it on this show, and I've talked about it with Kevin. It's weird, and you've heard like a lot of complaints online. People are not used to baby faces having sex. Because it's this real weird thing. It's like it's something about they don't mind that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are dating, but they mind that WWE acknowledges it and they show it on TV. It's like, we know. What's the problem? Is it what? Could they not marry? Because they not heels? Like, it's something where if you're not married and you're not a heel, they do not like baby faces, like, actually, like, liking people at all. Yeah. Like, they want them to be, like, sexless, like Marvel movies, almost.
Well, isn't it also, whenever there's a face couple, doesn't one eventually just turn on the other? And it's like, in this case, well, who the hell are we going to cheer for? But if that ever happens, you know? Yeah,
but it's different because they're dating in real life. That's the weird thing. Like, if it was different, if it was a storyline thing, it's like, okay, somebody going to turn somebody. This one is wondering, they're pushing so much. If they break up, that's going to be real awkward on TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
So I'm talking like the real life part. It's like, it ain't going to be Becky. It'll probably be Seth. So, but between, it's funny you see that there, and then people mad today because Seth Rollins had the audacity to have confidence in himself and the job he works for. Like, you know, I'm talking like, you know, I'm the best wrestler in the world. I work for the best company in the world, and people getting on like, how dare he say that? I'm like, aren't you fat nerds always put Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair on a pedestal for doing the exact same thing in the 80s? Doesn't everybody else do that? If they work for like ROH and New Japan, they love hyping, I got the most important title and the most important territory on the planet, yada, yada, yada. Like, we make this big deal about wanting our champions to have pride in their belts and who they work for. Seth Rollins does it, and it's like blasphemy.
I'm with you on that. And then, unfortunately, I know the match made sense. Like, logically, it followed what it should have, but I'm like, I don't want to see this.
Because it's Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword of this. All right, no, I don't want this gobbledygook going on, but then do you want a straight Baron Corbin-Seth Rollins match? No, you don't want that either. So it's like, you're screwed either way. I mean, could you imagine how bad that would be if Samoa Joe, he's the first one that comes to mind, if that was just a Samoa Joe match that was going down like this?
But that's the thing, they wouldn't have to do that. And that's the bigger problem, is not the match itself, it's the fact, and people pointed it out, it's like, it's Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Like, he's not ready to be there yet. And it's just, that's the biggest issue. It's kind of like, you got to do with the, not only with the stipulation, the fact that it's Baron Corbin and this whole, like, wrestling in with, like, dress clothes stuff is just.
Well, he's got a patch on his shirt now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday. I'm like, it don't matter.
Is that going to be on WWE Shop Zone? I'm gonna get a 3X.
Let me check real down, quick. Hang on.
Button down black shirt that I couldn't get from Ross. Like, it's. I'm sorry. He dressed like a Streets of Rage villain. And it's just like, come, like, people made the jokes like, he dressed like a bouncer. He dressed like a bartender. He dressed like he worked at the strip club. Like, and all those are accurate. And it's. I know the big boss man did it, but at least he dressed like a cop.
Yeah, so, and then he dressed like a SWAT guy after that. So
it's just, and yeah, but
nope, not yet.
Okay, they will. Maybe when he turns baby face.
Shut up.
That's why I did that snort before I even said that. But no, like, beyond that match, the other matches were, like, good to real good. I didn't see the Cruiserweight match. I heard that was good.
I watched that this morning because, unfortunately, like, it's my fault for not seeing it ahead of time, but. Yeah, that was really good, and I was actually kind of surprised Drew Gulak won, but he's been putting out great work in NXT.
Yeah, I watched his last two matches with Kushida. They've been good. Like, Drew Gulak's been good under the radar for a while, even with that goofy gimmicks he had before, and I guess I'm the cruiserweight that – I guess I'm the cruiserweight that doesn't believe in doing high-flying stuff. I'm just here to stretch you and look like I don't do, and look like I don't work out.
Well, the bad thing is that goofy stuff was getting him over. Mm-hmm. I mean, people had signs. Remember, what was he supposed to do?
President.
Yeah, he was supposed to do a no. It was like the presidential thing, but also he was going to give a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, no fly zone.
Yeah, and then they canceled the presentation, and the crowd was chanting for it. So it's like it was getting over, but now I didn't know that he, Matt Riddle, and was it Stokely Hathaway? I think they were part of a group in, like, I think CZW or something like that. I had no idea.
What a mix of personalities.
Yes. So, but yeah, but no, Riddle and Gulak had a great match on NXT. And I thought he was just going down there now, but.
Yeah, no, they've been using NXT to, like, rehab people and getting, like, you know, a boost because it's worked, you know, helped with Gulak. It definitely is helping with, Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't see that match. The tag match, it's like the first one. People forget how good Xavier Woods and Big E are.
I remember, I thought that about Tuesday when it was just him and Dolph. And Xavier, for those who didn't see, Xavier and Dolph. And I told Elise, I go, this is the longest Xavier Woods match I think I've ever seen where it was just him. I can't remember the last singles match Xavier Woods had.
I mean, he's had a few, but it hasn't been a lot. And it's like a lot of stuff has been like gauntlet-related stuff for him. Yeah. Lose, set up a match with Kofi. Like, no, it's always been like, you know what Kofi can do, and everybody knows Big E can do. Like, Xavier was kind of like, because a lot of times he didn't wrestle. So it's like, you know, is he like the manager type? Like, yeah, he can go. Like, he can like wrestle. Mm-hmm. And Big E is like an amazing athlete. That shit's insane. Like, the stuff he does at his size is just insane.
He's just crazy. That dive out the... they almost blew the shot, so I was about to lose my mind watching that. But when... did he spear Owens, or was it Zayn? He does that, you know, through the middle ropes. Zayn. He did that, and I'm like, oh my god. That was actually probably the safest one he ever took. Because he would get so much speed on that thing, he was like crashing into the guardrail most of the time. Or coming down almost on his head every time. So it was nice to see him take some precautions finally. But yeah, he's crazy, and I love that one because that was the first time, and maybe this is to WWE's credit, those quick matches they gave us. I mean, they came out, got rid of Big E, and they were just destroying Woods, and I'm going, what's going on? And I was into those near falls in the beginning. Like I was convinced.
Yeah, like they were hitting all their finishes in the first 2 minutes. I'm like, is Big E still hurt and they just want to end this match fast?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
And then, you know, they just kept the beat down and then Big E came back and then they have another, like, hot, you know, tag segment and then Kevin Owens wins with the stunner.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have that match. And then what was the next match was? No, actually, that was the second match. The first match was Becky and What's-Her-Face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I've seen people actually criticizing this one. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I did too. Like, Lacey's still, like, learning, but she can hang with Becky. And it's like, it's easy to hate Lacey Evans. I'm like, it's just something about that gimmick just frowns your face up, but it works. And, you know, she's definitely an athlete, but it's like a clunky athleticism. Like, it doesn't look fluid, but then she busts some stuff out that you're surprised she can do. So, no, I like the match, and then I like how it got to the end, and as soon as she put the disarm on, they tack quick, and it's like, you know, sometimes it pays to tack quickly to avoid damage. You know, you're not going to get out. And it's funny how that played out for the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, was that the same arm that she had hooked earlier? Because I'm pretty sure it was. Because she had part like an arm bar or something on. And she put it on twice. I think that was the same arm.
Yeah.
So it actually made more sense, but I think the announcers might have forgotten.
She was working the arm, and Lacey was working the stomach, which was affecting Becky's offense because she couldn't pull off some stuff that she normally could pull off. And it's funny where you don't see offense-related, like, you know, like offense-related on the stomach besides unless you're wrestling Brock Lesnar. Because most of the time, it's not something like you always hear about the ribs and the back or limbs, but the stomach is kind of like a weird one. It's like, yeah, your core muscles are important when you're doing like a lot, like in almost everything you do in the ring. So yeah. I like that match, like the tag match. Samoa Joe and Ricochet. Yeah. Enough. Like, they. I don't know how Ricochet does the stuff he does.
No, without killing himself, too.
Yeah, at that size. Because it's not like he weighs like a buck 40, a buck 50. He's like 190 pounds, they announce him as. And he looks around that size. It's like, it's, what can you say? Like, him and Joe just like big man, little man.
Yeah, I just, like, when I wrote you last night, Joe smacking him in the back of the head, to me, was like one of the worst parts of that match. Because he's just smacking the guy. And I'm like, what a dick. I mean, I know, like, you know, probably everything part of the thing, but goddamn, man.
Everything about Samoa Joe just screams bully. Like, the way he comes out, his hair, he just slapping people around, kicking them in the back of the neck. Mm-hmm. Like, everything about it is just like, he's a bully that can beat you up. And Ricochet's like this, you know, video game baby face just trying to overcome. And he hit, you know, gets the win. He's celebrating like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I can't believe I won the belt. Which camera angle do I look at? And he's just all hyped. I could tell this was a different show because he wins. You know, he goes, had a little quick interview. They go backstage and people there waiting for him. It's like, not just baby faces either, because Charlotte was back there too.
Yes.
Yeah, and people there. And then Triple H is there, give them the hug and everything like that. And they start doing chanting the NXT thing. And then as soon as that leads to, Heavy Machinery goes out.
Yes.
Like, leads exactly to the next match.
And they said, oh, all right, you think we can't top that? I'm not saying they did, but that, I know it was more of a fall than a dive, but seeing Tucker Knight climb the top rope and then dive on Rowan at the end, I was like, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah,
and then he comes up against, and then I wasn't joking. I don't know if you remember, that was all Daniel Bryan was doing when he was a babyface. He was constantly rolling people up with small packages. And I don't think he's done that in a while. So most of the time, you know, you get a schoolboy roll up, whatever, you're like, all right, just kick out real easy. So that ending, that made total sense to me. I'm like, okay, yeah, master of the small package, man. I mean, I don't know. Heavy Machinery showed a lot. That was great.
You know, you always told me how big Tucker Knight was, and it didn't really sink until that match. I'm like, yeah, he's big. Like, just because I think it's because it's like, it's deceptively big, because it's not like he's super muscular, but he's not built like Otis. Like, I don't know if anybody without CGI or makeup is built like Otis. Like, we were joking about it. Like, that man is not buying jeans anywhere. Like, he's sweatpants all day.
Yeah. I was as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, you put that in my head. And I'm trying to, I mean, where do you go? There's no short and wide stores. It's always big and tall. So, yeah, they showed him doing, like, Performance Center stuff. And the amount of weight that little man's, well, okay, let's get by that. He's not little.
No,
so I think that's one thing that gets lost in it too. He's wide and he's about 6'2", so he's about our height. He's not a short guy. He's not like a Chris Benoit that's just as wide as four Chris Benoit's. So I don't know why that name came out the first time, but all right. But yeah, no, that, and honestly, like, Daniel Bryan being the face again was kind of fun.
Yeah, so he's billed as 5'10", 330 pounds. He's definitely not small.
No, Jesus. Wait, how much?
His build weight, according to Wikipedia, is 330.
Holy
shit. You see how big his damn legs are. It's
yeah,
like...
Yeah. What was... Oh, there was a good line by Corey. He goes, Daniel Bryan, you know, Daniel and Rowan are trying to save the planet, and Otis is trying to look like one.
Oh, you know, it was just a funny match because it was like the dynamics were changed because where they were, and they just went along with it.
Yeah. Like, Daniel was kind of playing to the crowd. Like, he wasn't, like, trying to get the crowd against him, that's for sure. So, and then this poor Rowan just kind of stuck. So I even said to you, is this the first time Rowan's ever going to get cheered? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't booze, so that was a, you know...
I mean, the match, considering who was in the ring, the match was extremely good and a lot better than I thought it'd be. And it was like you had these three big monsters doing athletic monster things and Daniel Bryan being the glue to hold everything together.
And not looking out of place either. Like, and that's like I told you last night, the shimmy and a lot of the stuff Heavy Machinery does, you could really not like that. So if they were bad guys, that'd be really easy to hate them.
For it only gets over because people love Otis, because Otis is just like Jim Neidhart with less drugs.
Yeah. Oh, I did like when Ricochet came back in the back, and he's like, Ricky! Love you, Ricky!
Yeah, so no, that was a good match. Then Ricochet's in the back having an interview, and then the club's there. Like, let's take pictures. Like, yeah, you can't put the Too Sweet sign up, but you're cool with us. And then AJ Styles just strolls all in. I forgot all about AJ Styles. Like, oh, I see you. Congratulations. I see you on Monday.
Yeah.
And Ricochet had this look on his face like, I just won this. Yeah.
I did like, I'm sure some people have a problem with it, but I did like Michael Cole saying, well, welcome to the big leagues, kid. This is what happens when you're a champion. Mm-hmm. I just thought that, I mean, I know Ricochet's been around a while, but... He hasn't been in WWE, so I kind of like that line. Like, yep, all right, you got your foot in the door, so
you're official now.
Yeah. So I kind of dug that. Just something they haven't done before.
Your NXT daddy ain't here to save you no more.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really liked it. And then what was after this one?
Was it Bayley and Alexa Bliss?
I like this one too.
Yeah.
And. The weird thing was Nikki. I mean, you knew Nikki was going to cost or have something go on. But it was just weird. Like, she got in the ring when Alexa was firmly in control. Like, Alexa hadn't cheated or anything.
Mm-hmm. And she was just trying to get a ring because, like, Bayley hit her by accident. And she was just so mad at Bayley that she just wanted to do something, which ended up costing Alexa. It's kind of like building, like, you know, you see the breakup happening. And they're trying to have a way where it's like you got to have a sympathetic to Nikki. But it's like... It's weird when Bayley's the babyface, and Bayley just been like Alexa been a bitch, but Bayley been a bully.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you, but I kind of like it too.
Like, I do not, and it's not a bad way. Like, good. It's like now all this, she like basically all this hugging shit is over. Like, it's my time. I did not peak in NXT. Forget all this other horsewomen stuff. It's my time, and it helps when she like. They use the Andre the Giant camera whenever they have her and Alexa in the same like screen.
Yeah, Alexa's not a big one, so which was readily evident on the 365 after it. But
yeah, I watched like the first half of that part. And you realize like how small she is, and it's like she's not because it's not skinny. She's just super short.
Yeah, I watched most of that and then fell asleep and I finished it up tonight. It was or this morning. I liked it. Just those 365s are good, so it's always funny how they don't really acknowledge them though, because like she clearly says later, well she says in the beginning that her and Nia are best friends, it's no secret, and then you don't really see Naya until the end. And then she's, like, all emotional with her and this, and, like, they're talking, and you're like, oh. Because there were those rumors about how the two of them were no longer friends and all mm-hmm. that. But that's apparently kinda, that's wrong. So.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, you know, what you hear, don't hear. Like, she was real honest about, like, her body issues you went mm-hmm. through. And, like, in a way people don't talk about, like, the whole thing, like, yeah, I had implants at 17. I got them to fix my confidence, all the stuff I went through.
Yeah.
She just matter-of-factly, and it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it made perfect sense, like, medical sense, psychological sense, and it's like they were just real upfront talking about it in a way that they normally aren't upfront talking about stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they rarely – I think China was the only one. And that was even done in, like, a comedic way.
Yeah, like, usually it's like, you know, everyone knew Steph got him, and but
oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Came out and said it, they was just, Jericho's just making jokes.
Something looks different, huh?
Or when, who's the one that was managing the Bashams?
Holy God.
I don't know. One that was from Tough Enough, the black one. Look, I sound so bigoted. The black one.
And I still don't know who you're talking about. Crystal?
Yeah.
No.
She was like on Tough Enough. She was tall.
Oh, God. What a memory.
Yeah, she managed the Bashams. She took like a power slam and came back a month later with like some D cups. They're like, oh, she must have had some complications from the power slam. They kept it moving. Well, like, yeah, beyond that, they don't normally mention it until now because he's like, because Becky had plenty of jokes about Charlotte when Charlotte came back with her new ones.
Yeah, oh yeah, they didn't say a word about that.
Not on TV. Becky definitely said some stuff on Twitter. So like,
you talk about
how I missed time with a broken. You talk about how I missed time with like a broken face. It looks like you missed time too, you know. But something's different. I can't quite put my finger on it. And she had basically like a before and after picture. Cause yeah, it was. We've all talked about it. It was a very noticeable difference when Charlotte came back and looked the way she currently looks now.
Yeah, she just looks different overall. And like you see those NXT, you see the early WWE call up, and outside of you know probable implants, I don't know if it's a secret or not, or like not public knowledge, whatever. Her face looks different too. Like is that makeup?
It's probably makeup because Sasha Banks looks a lot different too. I call it like you know whatever they're doing full scale is a lot different than what they do on the main roster. Because even Sasha's made jokes about like she look at old pictures like ugh. I used to go out looking like this. Yeah, like you watch old NXT stuff and you look at him, but it's definitely noticeable more in Sasha and Charlotte than the other two. But if you look at like they look different, like
yeah, oh yeah, Sasha especially, yes.
So Charlotte just looks a lot different, but it's kind of like you know that's what happened. Roman Reigns looked a lot different in NXT than he does now too. So
yeah, you know people are complaining like he's still wearing like a shirt and all this stuff. I'm going. I don't know if he looked all that impressive without one. Like, not even like being like that. I don't know if it's just...
It's a Samoan thing.
Yeah.
Like, The Rock was able to overcome that eventually because his daddy. But even then, it's like, remember how The Rock used to look when he first came?
Yes.
And either with Samoans, either you're going to be, like, real massive and imposing looking like Yokozuna, Umaga, or you try to slim down like the Usos now. You can't really do the in between because you're not gonna be walking like how many Samoan wrestlers you see walking around with a six pack?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, hell, does The Rock even have one now?
He's got a strong core, but yes, The Rock has one now. I've seen some, especially The Rock in Baywatch body mode. Like yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
Yes.
Probably the only good part of that movie. So I tried watching that, and that was a rough go. But another Samoan that's on the, I think the rise, and apparently according to who you listen to, WWE finally noticed him. Have you seen Jacob Fatu?
No.
He looks. I can't remember what Samoan he's related to, but he's part of the whole family. The dude looks like the old throwback Samoans. But
wait, was he the guy that wrestled in that match? They said that was Roman Reigns' brother. Or is this somebody else?
That was somebody different.
Okay.
No, this guy, he reminds me of Umaga and like that that build, all that sort of stuff. Let me look him up real quick. I wasn't anticipating talking about him, but he's in MLW right now, and he's great. I mean, he's nimble. He can talk already. He's trained by Rikishi. What a surprise. He's a member of the Inoki family. Hey, big surprise there. Inoue family. Excuse me, not Inoki.
It'd be hilarious if he's members of both families. Yeah.
Let's see. His father is Sam Fatu. He was Tama, the Tonga kid. Okay. Umaga was his uncle, and the Usos are his cousins. Okay, can you... I have a big family on my mom's side. Like, I apparently have second cousins and whatever else out the ass around this country.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that compares to the Samoans.
Yeah.
They're all close, and it's like...
I mean, it's an island.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, you got to keep that in mind. It's an island. Like, the island ain't all that big. And it's kind of like if you have somebody famous, the children going to be famous, and it goes from there. And it's like, especially something with wrestling. And the real funny thing is, like, everybody is related except for Samoa Joe.
Yeah, how does that even happen?
And I laugh because Paul Heyman made a big deal telling you was the renegade. You wasn't like this royalty like Roman Reigns and The Rock. That's why they kicked you out.
Yeah.
when they were about to have that match when it was like Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe for the title, and Paul Heyman was like running them down like you a renegade criminal Samoan.
It is what's the funny part about that is he really doesn't look like any of them too.
Exactly.
So I guess not all Samoans look the same. Like we've been, if you watch wrestling, almost all Samoans have the exact same features of some sort. And Joe doesn't fit that bill.
So maybe weird. I guess he really is the renegade one.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently he must have grown up in L.A. and not in the island like the rest of them. Although that's obviously not true. But yeah, because Roman, you can tell Roman's got those Samoan wrestler tendencies, but he's fighting it. And then the Usos certainly did, but they've slimmed down quite a bit, so...
It's better to slim down than, go the opposite way as you get older.
Yeah, because they've got the genetics. Look at their dad. So,
yes.
Oof. Anyways, so that's that. And then, that was actually Alexa Bayley, but anyways. And then we got Roman and Drew. I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you knew Shane was going to get involved eventually. I honestly thought Roman was going to lose, and they were going to continue it one more month, but apparently they still are, even though he won.
Yeah, it's just this whole... I hope it's only the Shane McMahon having a title, because this is going way... And it says a lot that they basically, like, Miz is like, you came back, you basically hijacking the show, you on both shows getting all this mic time and match time, just sucking the oxygen out the room. Like, it says a lot that they know how people are taking this and they're doing it anyway.
Yeah, and, all right, so you've seen those rumors that Shane's supposed to be the one that beats Kofi?
I figure he's going to either beat him or Seth.
Oh, God. I didn't think about Seth, but...
And because people, like, assuming, like... Because I'm like this. They can't have him beat Kofi Kingston. Like, no. No. Like...
Well, what makes Shane more hateable? Beating Seth or beating Kofi?
Oh, beating Kofi.
Yeah.
But that's the wrong type of hate. Like, well, some stuff... But no. I mean, it's a way to make Shane hateable. You don't want him, like, no. It's the whole thing, like, they're going to have... Muhammad Hassan beat Batista for the world title at the what was it when they had the Great American Bash in DC?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it SummerSlam in DC? One of them.
Yeah, it was Great American Bash. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, pretty sure. Anyways.
Yeah, so it's like I know it's like that's how you get heat, but it's like no, that's just I get the mindset. No, I can't even get the mindset because it's like it's Shane McMahon. It's not like a regular wrestling coming up and anything like that. And not even taking the fact that it's Kofi Kingston. And for all the people thinking like this whole Kofi thing was a fluke, it's like, no. People still are way into Kofi Kingston no matter where he goes. Like, that's a real thing. And it's not like, he got the title. We don't care about him anymore. Like, he got the title and they care about him more.
Yeah.
And whoever beats him is going to be a big deal. It better not be no Shane McMahon.
It almost seems like Kevin Owens should be not the one that beats him, but next in line at least. Or, I mean, you can't have Roman beat him. That's just, you're asking for the booze to come back.
Just have Brock beat him.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, because yeah. Brock doesn't, because that works, and Brock doesn't give a damn about being hated. He's like, cut the check, and that would perfectly work.
Yes.
Because that fits like Brock personality anyway. Yeah, I beat your hero with my boombox Money in the Bank briefcase.
I thought, all right, did you notice, we already talked about the main events or whatever, but did you notice after the title matches, both of Kofi and Seth, they kind of lingered a little bit while they were on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had a New Day group, and I'm going, all right, okay. And then they went to Black and White, I was like, okay. Then at the end, with Seth and Becky, linger, and I'm going, oh, they're doing this on purpose. All right, because, you know, and we all know if Triple H runs a show, I'm not saying he did, but if Triple H runs a show, the WWE trademark and all that doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Until the lights go off, you know, man, what happened? Because we learned that watching NXT is like post-credit beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Triple H was like real good with that. I remember the first time we saw the NXT, we was like, wait a second. Yeah, did they mess up like Gargano and Ciampa with the first time it happened? And we was like, wait a second. They had the credits on screen. You ain't supposed to do that.
But, I mean, that's like they keep talking about how like Raw's got to not be stale or the main product has to get away from this and this. And it's like, even little things like that. Because now you're invested. If you watch NXT, you watch that stuff, you are invested enough to go, all right, go to Black. Like, if you're into the characters or into the story, you're sitting there going, go to Black, all right. Just, I don't see anything happen here.
Yeah. So, I mean, the funny thing about this is kind of like with this show, just let them work.
Yes.
That's all you need to do. Like, they have enough talent top to bottom on the roster where they don't... I mean, storylines are important because you want to care. But you only care if you care about the people. And you care about the people at the end of the day based on what they do in the ring. Let them do their stuff. Like, the match, like, the show worked because they had time.
Yeah. I think in the beginning of the show had no shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Cross kind of, all right, whatever. But even then, Alexa got hit with knees. Bailey got her knees up. So, you know, there was still a little shadow there. Like, well, you know, Alexa did get hit, so I know you can blame Nikki for the pause, whatever, but there was still a clean finish, if you want. No shenanigans. And then Roman and Drew, that was fine. And then Shane does his thing at the end, and, you know, Roman overcomes and wins. Like, okay. So it still wasn't bad, but it was when they started getting into the Seth one.
Like, I mean, here's the thing, you can't have that match and not have shenanigans, but it helps that that's the only match that had a lot of shenanigans. Yeah. And normally with those type of pay-per-views, it's like, you've already had two or three that had that, so by the time you get this one, you don't have any tolerance. This one, you couldn't do it straight anyway, so...
Yeah, the other guy doesn't have the talent for it.
Just yeah, like, slap. And then it's like, you having a special guest referee, and it's Lacey Evans, it's like, this ain't the Attitude Era, so Seth ain't gonna give her a stomp. Like, this isn't 1999.
That's why I wrote you last night. This was the Attitude Era. She'd be a dead woman right now. So,
And no, it's amazing just looking back at that. Like, that actually happened. And that was like the quote-unquote golden years. Like, the owner's daughter was getting hit with stunners and rock bottoms.
Let's not forget Lita got her ass destroyed by Steve Austin with a chair.
I remember that being a big deal, and they were like, oh, this may be a little too far. People were like, oh, if he's going to be a real heel, this is what he do. I'm like,
no.
Look how you sound like. If this is going to – he needs to show that he's really Stone Cold Steve Austin heel, beat up a woman with a chair while Triple H is there holding her. Like, what? Like, no. Imagine – type that and say that out loud and think about how that sounds. Before you, and this, wonder if that's a good deal. Now, but I remember that happening. I was like, "Oh, they ain't playing."
Yeah, I remember watching. We were watching. I think Kevin and I and a bunch of other friends were watching this, and the whole room's like, at first, like, "Oh my god, he just did that!" Like, the first chair shot. You know, all right, that sucks. But then they're beating the Hardys and Lita with chairs, and it's like, this is going on forever, right? Like, I don't know if I like this anymore. Yeah, even then.
And then picked her up and gave her a stunner.
Yes.
But no, that's when Stone Cold was like, I'm leaning in, because he gave Molly a stunner because Spike wouldn't sign his stupid petition.
Okay. Oh, remember, didn't he give Linda McMahon one?
Yes, he gave Linda, especially when he was a babyface.
Yeah, and also it's like...
No, Kane tombstone Linda McMahon, though, when he was a heel. Yes. Back when Kane turned, it's like, I'm going to really be Michael Myers. Like, I'm going to try to electrocute Shane and tombstone Linda. Like, it's... Boy, no. As much as we talk about Attitude Era, post-Attitude Era, they was doing some real wild stuff, too. We just tend to forget about it. Like, both Raw and SmackDown. And I'm actually afraid to, like, watch some of that stuff because I don't want to remember. Like, I vaguely remember some stuff, like, you know, Undertaker murdering Paul Bearer. But
okay, that stuff, yeah. Oh, boy.
After winning the match, like, the stipulation was if he lost, they was going to bury him. He wins and does it anyway. Like, I guess... I gotta kill my last weakness.
Yep. And I remember I listened to that Something to Wrestle With on that one, and Bruce Prichard was like, "Yeah, that was the shit." It's like that was a poor decision on their part. Like, yeah,
no shit. I don't know what's worse between that and the whole Lita Kane Snitsky thing.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree with you on that just because.
Oh, when he punted the baby.
That yes, I mean. If no one, all right, I don't know who listens to this that doesn't watch wrestling, but if you ever get the chance, look for Snitsky punts a baby, and then that's not my fault.
It's not that.
That was that still makes me laugh. It's terrible, you know, but it still funny. Makes me laugh.
I think I laughed too when I saw. You know, I know I wasn't supposed to.
Yep.
I'm like, this is just absurd. I'm like, I'm watching the. This weird old big ass acne back wrestler just punt a baby doll saying, you know, that's about to be my baby. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Just enjoying it. Because that was fun even back then. And then every time something happened, that they accidentally walked into a catchphrase. Mm-hmm. When he goes, that's not my fault. Like, I remember I can't remember what happened. He had nothing to do with it. But he still showed up and said, that's not my fault.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, he had a thing for a while.
Well, that wasn't my fault. So that's what.
And then it went too far when they shaved his head, and he was like a walking stick of melted butter.
Yeah. Well,
some people just, I know, it's like when the hairline starts to go, you go the Baron Corbin route. Sometimes you do not go the Baron Corbin route because then you look like, you know, a monster.
That's why I'm doing the Cesaro Jason Statham thing. I'm never shaving the head all the way down. There's no way.
Yeah, you're going to be on a watch list if you walk around with a shaved head. Mr. Deadlift Man, no, like, yeah. You. Go the Jason Statham route because that works.
Yep. And it's I don't have to, like, actually take – I take it down as low as it goes with the guards, and that's it. So, no, I'm not – I'm never going to do that. And I'm not doing – you don't do this, but I'm not doing the shaved eyebrow thing. I know that's, like, a lot of bald guys now shave their eyebrows off.
Why? Like, are they swimming?
I don't know, but that's a real thing. Or it's either they shave them off or they're doing... What is it? They take string? I can't remember what it's called. But they take a string and then... Oh, they sculpt them to make them, like, look a little bit thinner. So they're still there. They're still, like, hair on the brow. But it just doesn't pronounce. I'm like...
They delete that. Leave that shit to Rihanna. Like, what are these jokers doing? Like, no. You people going way too far with the landscaping.
Yeah, I'm good. I've got my little trimmer so they don't get bushy because I find that repulsive. But there's nothing worse than someone who's got, like, stray hairs in their eyebrows. I can't take it. So, no. Maybe I'll walk it back a little, but I'm not. You got to keep hair on the eyebrows. Or you do. You look like a criminal. I don't care. You do. So, anyways, we spent a lot of time on wrestling. We got to get into the big thing here. And I'm actually going to pull this up to make sure I say it correctly. So, Shahid got with me, God, three weeks ago? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Sending me these stills or gifs of this movie called The Wolf Warrior, or I'm sorry, just Wolf Warrior 2. It's a Chinese movie backed by the Chinese government, which is incredibly obvious. And this is one of the all right, I know you haven't seen the first one, so I went back, I watched the first one and the second one. You don't really need to know the first one because they make it look like the relationship between him and the girlfriend was this budding thing. It was great. Everything you see in Wolf Warrior 2 is their relationship. They're barely together in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
She recruits him. He's a new recruit out in the field. And basically, this training goes wrong because the guys who... I'm just saying without spoiler, but someone dies and they go get revenge. So she's in the command center, he's out in the field. And the blatant, here it'd be an HR violation the way they're talking. It was great. I loved it. So that's basically it. So everything they do in Wolf Warrior 2 is kind of just there. So, but I was really impressed. Because the first one wasn't like this. It was
forest, what I heard.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I'm watching this, and I'm like, they're on a boat, and there's an indeterminate African country, and of course the pirates come. And then all of a sudden, you just see this man running with his arm straight out,
uh-huh.
just gracefully down in the water. And I'm like, oh, China discovered the 80s. you could tell within the first 5 minutes what type of movies, like the tone of the movie, like, oh, it's going to be one of those type of movies. And he's just doing this. And the funny thing is, it's not tongue-in-cheek.
No.
At all.
Oh, not at all.
Look how cool I am. I'm going to kung fu fight underwater, and I don't even have to breathe.
Okay. That was – all right. So this doesn't give anything away. This is the first 5 minutes of the movie. He dives in the water, is a gunfight first?
A knife fight. Then a gunfight, then a fist fight.
Yeah, and a martial arts fight, actually, because he was kicking people all underwater. Then he miraculously ties everyone together. I guess just drowns them? Because I don't remember them popping up out of the water.
No.
In the scene went on, 10 minutes?
And then he gets on that shoots the dude with the... Yes. Then he got a rocket launcher or something? Yes. From like a mile away?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he takes out a helicopter that crashed into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, boom, then he goes back home, decorated, saying, bringing back the body of his friend that died.
Yes.
And I guess some bullies are trying to bully these people staying there, and they all approach him. And it's funny how they do it. It's, the cops come, and it's like you see him surrounded by, 25 people. And then when his superiors come, the 25 people just laid out, and he don't got a speck of dust on them.
Yeah. You see, in the first one, that would have been a big fight because they didn't shy away from that stuff.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's very funny is you're used to seeing the American businessmen doing that sort of stuff. And in this one, it was a Chinese business guy.
Yeah.
And which makes sense in China, but I was still waiting for it to be an American that's doing it.
Oh, wait, the American, we get our American villain later. But
yes.
No, he goes to Africa. Just drinking rice wine or whatever.
Well, he goes to jail first.
Yeah, he goes to jail. He gets out. Then he goes to Africa as a soldier of fortune, looking for this bullet. And then he's hanging out with this fat kid, a Kobe Bryant jersey. And that's the most accurate thing you see, because I'm sure there's plenty of people walking around in Somalia, Ghana with a Kobe Bryant jersey, because basketball travels. And he's I'm hanging around. I'm drinking shots.
Oh, wait, you forgot the best part about the kid. He's selling porn DVDs.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. The politics in this movie is just insane. And I don't know if it's the Chinese jingoism or this whole China-Africa friends that we need to look out for each other because Americans ain't doing it.
All right. So to jump ahead, I loved every time there was a fight scene, he goes, "We're Chinese." And it was everyone goes, "Oh, okay, go ahead." That's how this works?
Yeah, you can't mess with it. We can't do anything. We can't mess with the Chinese. Why not?
I love the end. They're going through the war zone. He wraps the Chinese flag around his arm and uses his arm as a flagpole. And they just let him through. I've never seen really dark-skinned African people that are Chinese before. They're clearly lying. But mm-hmm.
They're with the Chinese. We can't touch the Chinese like they're the damn Lannisters.
Yeah.
But no, so, you have stuff going on. Then you have so many action scenes. Like, One, we saw Rambo when people getting their arms shot off. I guess he saw Rambo too, because it's like people getting their whole heads shot all the way off.
The first one is not this violent. It's violent. It is not like this. They went nuts in this one. Or he did, because he directed it as well. So that took me by surprise.
And then the one I showed you when the guy, he catches the RPG with the fence.
That was very cool. I know you sent me that, but as soon as I saw like the guy getting the rocket launcher, I went, oh, is this where it happens already? Yeah, catches it in. Was it a fence or was it a mattress box spring?
It was a fence. He picked up a...
Oh, that's right. No,
he picked up like a piece of a fence and caught it and then threw it toward the ground.
That's right.
And here's the whole thing. I can't laugh at it too much because I just saw Fate of the Furious. The Rock caught a damn torpedo on some ice and just, you know, guided it somewhere. So I'm like, I'm used to this type of movies. So I'm not holding my nose up. I'm just amazed because it's like, the budget was only $30 million. It looked like it was more than... It's funny, at times like it was like $5 million, but at other times, like, it's like it's a lot more than 30... Like, they got a lot out there, $30 million.
The first one looked way cheaper than this one. So I don't even know what the first one cost, but if they were comparable, it would surprise me. So I'm just curious. But
Myself.
I'm only speaking about this movie with sheer joy because I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, I like the first one, but I like this one a lot better. So
okay, they don't have a budget for the first one; they just had the box office. So it's just funny. The box office for the first one was $90 million, and the box office for the second one was almost $900 million. That's a big ass difference.
These aren't that highly rated on IMDb. I'm surprised. Only 5.5 stars for the first one and 6.1 for the second one.
Because Daniel Day-Lewis ain't in it. You can't account for, whatever. You cannot account for taste. I'll give this 11 out of 4 stars.
Just, this grossed $773.5 million worldwide. It grossed almost $3 million in the U.S. I didn't even know it came out here.
Neither. So, but it's just amazing watching. You know, we just jumped around. So,
yeah.
Basically, the plot of the movie is like they're trying to get these people out of like this war zone where a plague is going on, and it's like the Chinese embassy is on, and like this African nation is trying to have a coup and try to capture them, and they're working with Americans led by Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. That
and they have his name on the side just in case you know who it is. Uh-huh. And I love that. It's like more movies need to do that.
Yeah, because everything is in Chinese. And well, no, they do. Okay, I don't know. When you watch it with subtitles, did they even have the English in subtitles?
No, when they just spoke English, they spoke English.
Yeah, no, they had subtitles for the English too, and it was in English. I'm like, I can hear. This is weird, but...
But it was just switching from, like... Because the guy would speak Chinese, and then he just speak English to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then go back to Chinese, and it was like, you just got used to it. But no, it's like... Frank Grillo, like, he was just having a time of his life. Like, yeah, I don't got to worry about this PC stuff. I'm going to really chew some scenery. Because murdering nurses and blowing up a hospital.
Okay. Wait, when did he flip the Jeep onto the pit of dead bodies? Was that when they were escaping the hospital?
Oh, man, I can't remember.
So that cracked me up. The girl takes off, and the doctor girl takes off in the Jeep, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? And she goes, I'm saving your ass. And he just looks at her like, huh? Like, no, you're not. And then he's like, get out of the way, let me drive. Just pushes her out of the way, basically. Oh, I'm sorry, he was on top of the Jeep.
Yeah.
Swings into the Jeep and says, get out of the way.
And they're having a Jeep chase with Kozlov himself and some other girl.
Thank you. I'm glad you recognized that's who he was. Well, apparently it was his girlfriend. Which, okay.
Yeah, like, they had some weird relationship. It's funny where the villains had, like, some weird backstory going on where they, like, allude to from time to time to flesh them out when Frank Grillo wasn't busy, like, you know...
Yeah.
To hell with these African and Chinese people. I'm here to get paid.
Yeah. And
so
then, well, that was the she blew him a kiss in one thing, but then he almost had like a revenge moment at the end when he sees the I don't remember his name, the Chinese soldier that was using a BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yes, I said that correctly, everybody. And he goes after the kid. He's beating him up. And he goes, don't you tell this, well, you know, don't, your mom said don't play with guns, whatever else. And then he beats Kozlov and then goes, yeah, well, you never heard about not messing with a spoiled brat. I was like, what? This isn't how this is supposed to work.
That's how it works in this movie. Oh. So they get there and they like trying to, you know, get the people and get them out. And then the Chinese foreman is like, oh, Chinese people only. Yes. You get in line, like, we come after the African people. And the Chinese worker's like, no, like, the one dude's married to the African woman is like, we're family. Either we all go or nobody go. And I'm like, what is this nonsense? And the funny thing is, like, I had to catch myself. I'm like, I hadn't been used to this because Americans stopped doing movies like this a long time ago. So it's just weird seeing this again from a different perspective. And then it's sitting around like, you know, it's so hard hair. But as soon as they get some music and everything, they just dance away, forget all their problems.
Yes.
And we're all brothers here. It don't matter about color. And I'm like, I had to stop because I just started laughing. I had to pause and like, yeah, you know the Chinese government just like, yeah, make sure you put that part in. I'm sitting here like, what type of nonsense is
yes,
this?
Yes. And that, there was a lot of that. Which
oh, then he gets the plague and okay. He escapes.
Uh-huh.
After he has like the miracle fight when he's fighting off all these people. It's like first they're fighting the drones.
Yes.
And then they're fighting off the other guys that get there. And then they surround about 20 people. Then he somehow, what was it? They had like a plane strike, how he escaped the first time. Because there's like 20 of them, like before he left the camp the first time. And they first attacked the camp. And it was like, he's surrounded by like 30 people. They start playing the music in slow-mo. And then I think it was like a plane strike came that saved him. Because he's like, he's about to die.
No, the plane strike was at the end.
I thought they had something in the beginning. I thought they had something first when he left and then before he left.
No, no. Big Daddy was going to kill him. And I remember whoever.
Oh, they called him.
They shot the flares off, said, come back.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And then he got mad and ended up killing the general. That's
okay.
Right.
He gets back, kills the general. They kill all his troops. He points at another guy, goes, you'll be the fucking king here if you bring him in. And the guy's like, okay. I'm like, why would I believe you?
He ain't got no choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
yeah. Meanwhile, Fang, that's the dude's name. He has this plague that was infecting other people. So you figure he's about to die. And somehow they had experiment. Like, the girl that was with him was immune. So they whipped up an experimental vaccine in one night.
Now, she did say, I was a little lost on that, too. Like, okay. But she did say the guy had been working on it because he'd mm-hmm. noticed. So I'm like, all right, I'll give you a pass on this one. So,
I mean, but yeah. I thought he was going to be the one that was the cure.
So,
and I did see Blade, so it's precedent.
Yeah.
But so that happens. He gets the cure back, and then he goes back, gets his revenge.
Wait. We skipped probably my favorite part of the movie, though. So he gets kicked out of the camp because the guy mm-hmm. rightfully says, he gets here, and a bunch of us are dead. He goes to get this girl. All those people are dead. Get out. And they're like, well, he saved you. I was like, yeah, because he's here. If he is not here, none of this happens. Get out of here. So they kick him out. The doctor, lady, and the girl go with him. He's hallucinating, and she goes, you have the plague. So who's driving the Jeep? Him. And he runs into a tree.
Just like Logan.
And they find a cave. And that's where all this stuff happens. And I can't remember. I might have messed this up. But is this the scene after when they're driving and there's just a pack of lions eating a zebra?
Yes.
And then the male lion comes up. They drive off. And the male lion is chasing the Jeep. And what does this have to do with anything? Nothing. Not a thing.
I mean, everything don't need to have a backstory.
That was hilarious. I'm like,
yeah,
did this actually happen during production? They're like, no, we're
filming
this.
Yes. Yeah. So that happens. Big Daddy gets there, is torching the other dude, like his best friend, trying to figure out what's going on. And then he gets back sneaking, and they have a tank fight.
Yes.
A real, not like tank shooting each other, like we driving around like Fast and Furious, like bumper cars. We having a real tank fight.
Yep. I was like, this is great.
And those tanks were moving too.
I guess I never realized how fast a tank could move. Would you notice that the one guy in one of the bad guys, he got sick because of how fast they were turning?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, he was getting dizzy.
I think that was the point. That was the whole plan. That was the whole point. Trying to get him mess up his equilibrium so I get a clean shot. And I'm like, they actually put some thought into the physics of this.
But it's then, like they're going just as fast. So I guess.
He's an elite commando though. He's a wolf warrior.
Okay, so that's one thing that's going to be lost. He doesn't get sick. So when he's drinking in the beginning, that's what he always wins. He does. Yeah. He said he used to drink when he was 7 years old. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, he built up tolerance like Drew Barrymore. Yes.
But then that's why his equilibrium and all that, everything's fine. He can't. Mm-hmm. Nothing of that'll ever happen.
See, so like I said, it makes sense.
Yep.
In the universe, and then he has to fight with Frank Grillo, and he's like, "Oh, you Chinese people tough enough? I thought you guys were pansies and all that." And they having a long ass fight.
Uh-huh.
And then he kills them real brutally.
Well, let's not forget the fact, though, they're fist fighting. Or they're fighting, and he goes, nah, this is enough of this. They both take off their armored vest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a clean fist fight. And all of a sudden, Lin Fang reaches down, and he's bleeding from the side. He's like, what? And Frank Grillo's got a knife on his hand.
Yeah, he pulled him out.
And he proceeds to beat him with the knife, and then he finally gets it away from him, and then he beats him with it. I'm like, okay, I'm in. So have at it, boys. This
Then he found out the bullet that killed his friend was Big Daddy's bullet, and just goes off.
Then stabs him to death with the bullet.
Yeah, man, oh man. And then it's like they leave. He wraps the flag around, and then it's the mid credit scene when he's like, in the North Pole. I don't know where he is, in the middle of nowhere, like snow. And then he gets a call saying you could come back to your squad if you want. Well, we found your friend's alive. And then it's like Wolf Warrior 3 coming soon.
IMDb has nothing for right now. So,
well, he was busy doing like the Wandering Earth. So, made a whole bunch of money itself. And it's pop up on Netflix. They go like a movie that makes almost $900 million will get a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, even over there, it has to.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's not the way the movie ends. Just that whole line about if you're Chinese in a foreign country, just never forget you will, and you find yourself in distress, never forget you have the might of the Chinese government behind you. And it is in print. But there's a voiceover, and then there's a big, like, steel, hitting steel sound. Like, stamp of approval. Like, holy shit.
Imagine watching that in Alabama.
Well, I was like, imagine watching that in China? Everyone going crazy?
Oh, China, everybody was like, high five. But I was just laughing when I watched that. And I'm like, oh, man. When I was watching, I'm like, I gotta tell Jeremy about this.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Whenever you see stuff like this, send it to me. Because I enjoy these movies more than anything else. So,
yeah. And I've been reading stuff about it saying where China's been, that's their thing is like, we're doing old school blockbusters our way.
And that's like, pretty much what this is. With better, better effects just because they're newer. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Like the thing was, like, it does not look like a cheap. Like, it's funny where you would think, like, this be a cheap movie. It doesn't look like a cheap movie.
No.
At all. And it's like, I enjoyed the hell out of it, even though it's a lot of things telling me that I had no business enjoying this. But I just did. Because it's like, this is not even like the storyline and like that overarching China saved the day. I mean, it's cool if I'm part of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm not. And I know what goes on between China and African countries. It's not how they portray it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why I was laughing even more. Like, I know how ridiculous this is, and for some reason it didn't matter.
I'm reading here. This is from December 3rd, 2018. Apparently, okay, Chinese screenwriter, this is from China Film Insider. Okay. December 2nd, God damn it, no, I don't want to subscribe. December 2nd, Chinese screenwriter Wang Halin, going with the people, posted on Chinese social media Weibo, indicating that the government is banning upcoming sequels to nationalistic films, such as Wolf Warrior 2 and Operation Red Sea.
Hmm. Why?
Okay, there's a document that's going around by the country's media regulator, includes the following rules: avoid discussing national affairs, such as China's political system and the current state and future of the country. Don't brag about China's armed forces. Well, and don't portray Western countries as opposing forces. Be cautious about casting actors with questionable history. Same-sex romance is an unfavorable theme. Huh.
Well, I guess somebody complained.
So wait, oh my God.
And that's even more weird. Like, not the fact that somebody complained, but the fact that somebody listened. Like, China don't seem to type to care that much.
In the first one, it is braggadocious about the army and the military there. And it is, I mean, it's all over. And...
That's so damn strange, because it's like, I remember the Transformers one with Kelsey Grammer. They was doing it was an American movie, but they went to China. It's like, we're going to work, you know, don't worry, we're going to handle this. We're going to work with the Autobots. And they made the Chinese military and government like, you know, we don't waste time like you American assholes. Yeah. And I remember that standing out being strange then. That was like an American-led production. And this one, it was like, it might as well have been like a recruitment to, you know, the move to China.
Yeah, so that, I will say, that sucks. That's the case. I mean, obviously we're not Chinese, but I mean, who gives a shit? I mean, I can see, all right, so let's back down a second. You even said, how would that play in Alabama? So, yeah, I guess there's a concern. Not Alabama, but maybe they don't want...
I'll say this.
Well, then don't back the movie. Why? But unless everything has to go through it.
Yeah, that's part... It's a weird thing where it's kind of like... It's a lot of censor and control where you got to jump through a lot of hoops if you want to get stuff done over certain... Yeah. Over, like, any type of budget. So that's there. And I guess it's just weird where it makes sense them doing that if it was any other country. China doing that just seems odd because they never seem to type to like worry about that, because it's like, Do what we want. You ain't going to do anything. And it's a lot of stuff they're doing in real life anyway that's kind of like frowned on, And they don't care. So to have that in the movies is, but at the same time, people say, oh, it's a movie, it don't matter. I'm like, no, movies matter. And I tell people all the time, if we get most of our information, especially about stuff we don't know about, from movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
I make the joke all the time. The reason why people don't know about pharmacies is because we don't have movies and we don't have shows. That's why they don't know anything like they know about doctors. Like, you hear about most African nations is from movies, Asian nations from, like, if I watch certain movies, I'm thinking, if it's Europe, everybody's in the snow, drives an Audi, and secretly kills each other. You know, Like Africa, people still riding zebras and have warlords and pirates, even though it's like they have their own airlines and businesses and stuff like that. You know, China's either like mystical or super serious and paranoid, or Russia's Russia. It's like that's what you get from, and it's the same thing with like America. Like, we. It's that joke with Thor Ragnarok, like, you know, yeah, I got these guns. He didn't say he got them from America. I got them from Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, like, this place on Midgard called Texas. And it's the joke in, like, America, like, even America, Texas is known. Everybody wears cowboy hats and has guns.
Well, hell, what was that one movie? Hell or High Water. Mm-hmm. They robbed the banks, and all of a sudden, all the guys in Texas are chasing people. It's like... Yeah,
and that's what that probably happens. So you go on Walmart and they have concealed carry, because like, I'm getting this damn Charmin toilet paper.
Yeah, you never know.
So, yeah, I mean, so it's a thing that we learn from culture. I'm just weird that they went that route, because it's just not the fact that it doesn't make sense, because it's kind of like, you know, you want to be part of like everybody else and you want to be part of like the world culture. It just seemed weird because I didn't think China cared that much to want to be part of the gang like that.
All right, so at what point do you just go, well, the hell with the world culture, this is ours? Like, you know. Dude, all right, so do we want to see, like, a bunch of homogenous movies coming out of China now? Like, no, it's just, stamp it, man. I mean, but make your shit.
It's the thing. That's us saying that without thinking the consequences of it.
Most of the money for this movie was made in China.
Yeah.
You know?
Almost all the money made in China.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want to do... I think it's the fact where it's like, okay, we can keep doing what we do and make the money we make, but eventually we want to be like Hollywood and we want our stuff to be everywhere. And it's like, that makes sense. Like, you know, India does the same thing. They want to like expand their horizons. Like, we want everybody to do it. And like with Netflix and streaming, it's easier. The world is a lot smaller than it used to be. So I can see the thought process behind that. It's just weird that the fact that thought process is here, because I didn't think they were like ready to jump in that boat. Especially like World War II didn't come out that long ago. What was it, 2017?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know if I ever told you about this. So when we saw Endgame, there were a lot of Indian people there. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm talking like 25, 50 people. And around here, it's not that unheard of, because there's a big Middle Eastern and like Indian population, like a few miles down. Because like that migratory thing, I don't never understood it, but that's just how it works. So, where I'm like, they must have got like some group to come and come see Endgame or whatever. No, there was, I don't know the name of the movie, but there was some Bollywood movie that was like one of those Fathom event things that was advertised that I didn't know people went to.
Oh yeah.
That's what they were going to see. And I'm like, you guys know Endgame's playing, right? Like, I guess you guys didn't get tickets, because that makes no sense to me. But, yeah, they were all going to that, because they, you know...
Oh, those movies, those movies be killing. Like, they come out in a few places, and they make the money they make, and then leave. Those, like, especially the action movies.
This looks like a dance movie or something.
Oh, that's an action movie, too, for that. Trust me. And you know what's funny? Like, we can wrap up soon.
Yeah, we got
like, we talking about, like, Chinese action movies... They ain't got enough no Indian action movies.
Okay.
Those things are insane. Like, you think Fast and Furious, that make Fast and Furious seem like the Godfather as far like realism.
All right. I don't know if you're going to know this. There is an Indian movie, and during this battle, they take, this is all I know because I forgot to write the name of this down. One, it's beautiful, and two, it is so impressive. During this fight, it takes place way back when. They take a giant red blanket, carpet, streamers, whatever. They launch it like a catapult over the opposing army and then light it on fire. You don't know?
That sounds about right.
It's gorgeous. And it's been killing me that I cannot find what movie that is, because I want to see this movie.
Yeah, movies.
The shots are insane. They show the car. I'm just gonna go with carpet. Well, it's not carpet. Whatever. They show it go over, and then they show the people underneath, and they show like on top the cloth is burning. So you've got burning people underneath it. You got people fighting through it. I'm going, this is amazing. It's amazing filmmaking.
Yeah,
and I have no idea what the movie is.
And they do that all the time over there. It's like they have their own. You know, Bollywood's a big thing. And somebody put me on to it. I watched it. I'm like, this is insane, but not in a bad way. And yeah, they'll launch movies every now and then here, and like have like family events, and people will go and watch them. They'll be in the movie here like 2 or 3 weeks. And it's like, if you know, you know. And if you don't, it's like, what are all these Indian people doing here? Yeah. And you like be wondering what they're doing. It's like they're minding their business, watching their Endgame.
Yeah.
Basically.
But yeah, no, I was. That was just crazy to me when I saw it. Like, God, I wish I would. I hope if someone listens to this, they know what it is and let us know. Will.
But before we go, I did see Child's Play.
Yeah.
And it was a lot better than I thought it'd be. And the part was like, it was only like 88, 89 minutes. So it went by fast. One, Aubrey Plaza could be whatever movie she wants to be, because it's funny, like, she just, and all the stuff, it's funny, I don't like those type of genre. All the stuff I've seen her in, I've liked her in. And I, but I never seen, what's the show? Was it Parks and Recreation or Community? One of those shows she was on.
She's Parks and Rec, yes.
Yeah, like, I never saw that, but I heard that's where she started from. I remember watching Legion. Back when I watched Legion, she was good in that. She's good in this, even though it's weird her being a mom. Of like she early 30, like she said, yeah, you know, Sweet 16 worked out a lot better than I thought it'd be. When somebody asked about like that's your son, like they thought that's her sister. The kid that plays Andy, he's, who did he look like? He looks like, did you see Baby Driver?
Yes, yes.
The Anson Elgort, like the guy that played Baby Driver, he looks like a younger version of him.
Oh.
Like that's exactly what it looks like. And good, like, and it's like, it's definitely like an R-rated movie because it's cursing and stuff like that. And this update, like I said, using demons, it's like this worker in Vietnam is being berated because he keeps dozing off at work, and the guys, his boss, like, go ahead and make this dial and then you get fired. So the last dial he's making, he like turns off all the security chips, so it's like you can use language, no, you can override whatever, no like parental discretion, and then jumps out a window.
Okay.
Suicide. So this doll's like doesn't have any restrictions, and everybody making jokes like, you know, you think this is a good, you know, good deal having this doll have control, because like they make jokes like Skynet and stuff like that, and it's like he's connected to the cloud, so he can control like temperature and stuff when he goes bad. He kills this black woman with like a automated Tesla car because he can control that too. It's like making you like, yeah, this whole smart technology thing had you looking sideways. And Mark Hamill's amazing.
Yeah, like, I know a lot of people were always like, whatever happened to him? But yeah, he's made quite the career of the voiceovers.
Didn't he have like an accident?
That was during filming for Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
Yeah,
that's why he came back, got hit by the Wampa in the face.
Yeah, and then like Return of Jedi, he just looks a lot different.
Yes.
And then it's like, you know, what happened and everything. And then I remember watching Batman. He did the voice of the Joker, and it's like, that's Luke Skywalker. That's just amazing. And like, just because that voice is just, no, his voice is, because like most of the time it's like playing like, you know, I just want to be, it's like creepy but endearing. I just want to be your friend. I'm just doing this, like, you know, the cat scratches Andy and he complains about the cat, so he kills the cat. He's like, why? It's like, oh, the cat hurts you. I just want to make sure nobody hurts you. This dude that's dating his mom is like this creep's like messing with him. He's like, I wish I do something, you know, I wish this guy would go away. So when the guy goes home to his real family, he's taking out the Christmas lights. Chucky pushes the ladder down so he breaks both his ankles. You hear and see him break his ankles. Then, yes. You know the thing they use, like mulching, like when they want to like irrigate the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
So he turns that on. He's about to push it over the dude's head. The dude stops it and Chucky stabs him. And you see that motion that's most dudes damn head off.
Do they like explain this, how Chucky's like really strong? Because that I never really cared for the first ones.
Here's the thing: he's not super strong. He's just he's like an animatronic doll. He's just sneaking up on people.
Okay.
So he's not like overpowering people. He's just getting a jump on them.
Because right, like, there were some in the first ones that.
No.
He's a fucking grown adult. I'm going. Just rip the goddamn doll's arm off.
He's using distraction to stab people, or it's like, you know, this guy that's creeping, like, you know, stalk, like, you know, cyber stalking them. He turns like the temperature up on the pipe, has like a circular saw turn on. The pipe gets so hot, the dude's hanging on the pipe, so he lets go, gets sawed in half. Like, no, Chucky's using technology to kill people. Like, he's killing people with drones. He's using other dolls to do it, and yeah, so.
So they took all the camp out of it then.
I mean, it's camp, but it's like the people who made the movie knows how ridiculous the thought process is of having a killer doll does it, updates it with technology, and still makes it creepy and scary as hell. Like, it's like, we know y'all watching what y'all watching. We understand. We're not going to laugh at you, but we know you're going to laugh at certain parts, but we're going to creep. Like, it's the time you're supposed to laugh, you laugh. It's plenty of times I cover my face because this is a gory-ass movie.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, like, they do not shy away from, like, when I say somebody break the ankles, you hear and see them break the ankles. And you see people get sawed in half or their guts getting pulled out and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's fun.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like a laugh riot in that case, but no, I was never a fan of the first ones. I liked them when they got goofy, like introduced the son, introduced the bride of Chucky. I was like, all right, dude, they're just goofy. But like the first one, I tried watching, and I'm like,
Original ones I like was the one where they were like in military camp.
The third one?
Yeah. I don't know why I like that one, because it's something about, you know, I think it's that annoying black kid, Tyler. I was for him to die or guy get possessed because the kiss my ass, Tyler. He was a punk. Oh.
Okay, there was another one. All right, so go back to the other movies. That's one thing that was always a surprise in Wolf Warrior. The people you thought were going to die never died. In the second one, I figured the skinny young rat, I thought he was dead. I thought the plant foreman was going to be dead. Nope, he survives. You're like, none of the good guys took any hits. Because even like the old soldier who got shot, you thought he was going. Nope, he survived too. I'm like, huh, all right. I don't know, it just stood out. It stood out as weird to me. So it just dawned on me when he said that. Because like, someone always dies. And in this one, no. And then now, and even knowing that, like, his girlfriend or wife, I couldn't remember. All right, did your subtitles tell you what the documents were?
Yeah.
Okay, mine didn't. Were they divorce papers?
I don't remember.
Okay. I'm guessing they were, but they never showed, like, a wedding. So I'm like, huh? But unless it was, like, a discharge from the military, too. Could be that, but. But anyways. Got to find some. Well, we got Spider-Man coming up. So,
did you buy your tickets yet?
Oh, yeah, I got those a long time ago, actually.
When are you seeing it?
July 2nd.
So, Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Yeah, I'm seeing it Tuesday afternoon.
All right, cool.
So, like, I wasn't trying that whole Monday midnight crap. It was like,
no, I don't want to do those anymore.
Yeah. It's the funny thing I was thinking about that, like, I'm going to have to see Hobbs and Shaw, like, on a Saturday.
That's in August, right?
Yeah, I know. Like, but that third, like, I was going to take off the Friday, but people are already going on vacation, and I work evening shift. So, yeah, I'm actually, yeah, so I'm not going to be, like, first dibs like I normally am. So I'm not seeing until Saturday.
When is that, anyways?
The August 2nd.
Yeah, I'll be okay with that. There's going to be something, like, I'll be on vacation. I know you're going on vacation at the end of this week, and then I'm going. It's still 3 weeks away. Man, and I know we got to wrap up, but it feels like our vacation to St. Martin was a year ago already. And it was only a month. Like, we'd be there right now. And I'd gladly go back. So, but anyways, we'll get onto that later. So, yeah, kids, check out Wolf Warrior 1, Wolf Warrior 2. And this is how rabbit holes start. If you get the opportunity, look up the people in it. Because I was already looking up other stuff. And there's apparently a movie called, where'd it go? Operation Red Sea. It looks like it's available on Netflix.
So, okay, now I know what I'll be doing later on today.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. I'm not signed into it, though, so I can't tell if it's actually available or if it's just a DVD. So, which I didn't know Netflix still did. Anyways.
It is loosely based on the evacuation of foreign nationals from Yemen's southern port in the Yemeni Civil War.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a straightforward one, so it's not going to be as goofy as Wolf Warrior, but...
Yeah, China's first modern naval film grossed over almost $600 million and received critical acclaim from critics. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So, like, Black Hawk Down on a boat.
Yeah. See, yeah, it is streaming. So yeah. Just add
language in. Mandarin, English, and Arabic.
Yes, as long as there is some sort of subtitles, we're good. Because I'm one of the people that don't mind them. I've never understood someone going, I don't watch movies with subtitles.
Yeah, okay. No, makes no sense to I've only watched one movie on subtitle at the movie theater, and I'll say it was tough. Like, I watched Hero, and it was good. It was just tough because it's like, I think one, I watched it late. It was in subtitles and I was trying not to doze off because the movie is like slow pace and like so beautiful. It's like, this is just like, I just want to take a nap and let the music envelop me. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it was like, but on Netflix or whatever, I watch some subtitles all the time because I can pay attention.
Yeah. I've never had a problem with that. So,
and watching the Raid. Oh, and watching the Raid is like, I tried watching the Raid in English one time. I was like, I cannot do this.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, no. I tried within five, because it came on like Cinemax one time, and it was like English, and I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I was looking up, I'm like, and they said, this is the Raid. I'm like, no, I'm turning, this ain't the Raid I grew up with. I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that, I know.
If I watch the movie in its native language first, and then I watch it in subtitles, I can't do it. Now, if I watch the movie in its, in subtitles, like Bruce Lee movies was the reverse, because I watched it in dub version first. So now it shows up on Showtime, and it's in like the original language with subtitles, and I just, it don't feel the same, because I got to pay attention.
You forever ruined that stuff, though. It's kind of on the same tip, but we remember, I think, what was it, The Great Wall? Mm-hmm. And they had like the Chinese actors speaking in English, and then you're saying it just sounds wooden. And before, it never occurred to me. Now, every time, I just know, like, just let them speak English, let them speak their native language, and just subtitle it. Which I guess for the movie, I don't know, make it Lucha Underground rules where they just understand each other, but...
It's a movie.
But I get it, but it just sounds stiff now.
Because a Netflix movie, that, what's that one, that Cloverfield Space one? They do that, because it's like, you're not missing nothing, but it's like she speaks in Mandarin, and a dude to reply in English.
Oh,
I mean, just do it.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, okay. We got to go after this, but at the end of Wolf Warrior 1, you know how you got like your two guys facing off, and they're both giving like their soliloquy, their big like, you know, I was made this way, whatever else. Mm-hmm. They're doing that to each other, and you're going, do they know what they're saying? And finally, the guy's like, you know, we don't have to do this. You should join us or something like that. And he goes, do you understand what I'm saying? And the guy, Ling Feng, just comes back with something. And the guy goes, fuck! Like, everything I just said didn't make a world of difference. And then they fight.
Yes, so, I will say, before we go, since you're on Netflix, Triple Threat is on Netflix.
Triple Threat.
So watch that. You will like that. It has people in there that you enjoy watching.
I can't stand Spellcheck. It changed it to Triple Threat. Oh, I think I've got this added already. Oh, no, I don't. All right, cool. All right, gang. We got to get out of here. We're talking about shit we should be talking about offline. But, yeah, so thanks for listening. We watch stuff. Stunt Granny Audio on iTunes. Look for Audio Update Stunt Granny. So that'll be that. And we will get at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati, and if you're listening to this and you enjoy Stunt Granny, no matter where you hear this, we will come and save you. We are out.